Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Hunaktu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Sri Krishna Sandarbha. Then there's no heading on this one. Didn't they used to have headings?
This one.
Somehow or another it's. Yeah, somehow then this one doesn't, they're not there. Yeah, they're up to here. Up to here, but somehow or another, this Adhikarana, Naito.
I didn't get one. What happened? Oh, okay, okay. Oh.
Yes, it just in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't put it in.
What, misprint?
No. It's just at the top of the page you have that header where it says Adhyayana 2, Adhikarana 4, and then mentions the name. Bhagavatam stresses Krishna's supremacy for the six qualities of scripture, so it's not here. Yes, no, it just didn't. Oh, just I won't feel bad. Yes, yes. Yes. Thank you.
I don't feel any book. Anyway, I don't have any book.
Book, yes. Yeah. Same boat, yeah. Somebody doesn't have something. Okay, so what are we? Adhyayana 2, Adhikarana 4. Bhagavan stresses Krishna's supremacy through the six qualities of scriptures. Page 91. Thus, in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.10.12, Shonaka and the sages, desiring to know the cause of Krishna's appearance when they begin to listen, suggested that Krishna alone, because he is most astonishing, is to be known in all cases. Thus they indicate that he is Swayam Bhagavan, right? So in all cases, that whatever is happening, it always goes back to there. So that's the specialty that you'll see, is that those who are on the pure devotees, they're always going to take it back to their deity. So then in here is that those who are servants of Krishna, they'll always take it back to Krishna. So whatever's happening, you're looking at things on the platform of you know, that the Bhagavat Sandarbha is talking about, or the Paramatma Sandarbha. So it means Raman or Paramatma. But then you'll always take it back to the Ishtadeva, to Krishna. So that's the point, is, you know, he is to be known in all cases. No matter the taste of water, who? Krishna. Swayam Krishna. You know, he's the light of the sun. Yes.
It's a very interesting observation that if we take Bhagavatam, in the beginning, the sages ask so many questions, and it's the most elaborate answers to those questions. But if we take Gopaltapani Upanishad, it's the same exact question, just very concise.
Concise, okay.
And then in the explanation also, according to the question, is very concise, because they ask, you know, they exactly the same. Who is the deity, who is, you know, whom the fear personified fears, and who is, whom if you know him, then nothing else to be known. So it's exactly the same like here, just a you know, big version of it or very concise version, but it's exactly the same.
Okay, interesting. Well, that's correct. And Krishna's mentioned.
Yeah, it's all about Krishna and Govinda and Gopijana Balabhadra.
Yeah.
Because that's the explanation of the mantra.
Okay. Oh, that means the whole work describes that mantra.
Yeah, it's based on that mantra. And it's very short, you know, Upanishad. It's like a small, I don't remember how many verses, but it's very short. Very,
very short.
Small.
So prakaranda means quotes from our knowledge acquired from somewhere that is used here.
Yes, it means that just like someone says something, but they don't understand it, so you quote from another scripture that defines that word or that concept, and then that makes this one more clear. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we're saying?
Yes.
Yes. You know, it's just like in the verses there, maybe the poetics, it means because of the poetic element, it may not be as clear, maybe. I'm just saying this is as an example. But then in another place, it just gives a very straight definition. So you pull that definition to say, this is what this one is saying.
Okay. Because Vakya was also something similar to that, a little bit different. The previous one.
The previous.
Seven.
Well, that syntax, that would be how it's being put together. So you're looking at what's being done. I mean, it's just like in the sentence. Then you can, depending where you put the emphasis, that's how they for the Mayavadis, the word jugglery. That's what they do. They just shift things and then change the meaning.
So can we say that Vakya is from grammatical point of view and Prakarana from the meaning itself?
What, more of a definition?
Yeah, actually, like Vakya, then though it's grammatical, it's overall analysis of the syntax, means it's overall analysis of how the words and the phrases go together.
It's more about them going together rather than the rule by how they go together.
Like some of the verses came that describe Krishna as Amsha, but the meaning is Krishna is like an Amsha. That is the syntax one.
That's Vakya.
That's the Vakya. And the Prakarana is like sometimes it's described that, you know, this word, the same part about head, Krishna being the head, but then it described in some other Upanishad or some another Narsingha Purana, it's described that it means Shakti. The hair means Shakti. So you can say these are the Shaktis or the rays of the Lord. When we are quoting that, then that is the Prakarana.
Thus they indicated that he is Swayam Bhagavan. This is also shown by the unity of mind of all the hearers and speakers in Bhagavatam. Sthana refers to establishing a relation according to words mentioned in a sequence of verses. This is also seen in Srimad Bhagavatam 177. For instance, in the section on the Darsha, Purnamasa, sacrifices, some actions such as Soma offerings gather together mantras like Dharavir Asi. The relationship is established by the order of the mantras. Thus, in Munaya Sadhu Prishtoham Bhavadbir Loka Mangalam Yat Kritam Krishna Samprashna. The word Krishna means the child born of Devaki only, since it occurs in the answer to the first question. Right, so, you have something is given, and it's a definition is given. Then any descriptions after that are in the context that it's already given. Or something's given and then there's a conclusion given, all these have to be seen in the context of that. Does that make sense? Just like we say, okay, you should go to the market. And then we're talking about, let's say, at the market, we should get some tomatoes, we should get some potatoes, we should get things. But you're not saying, oh, but those tomatoes and potatoes, that's something else. That has nothing to do with the market. That's, you know, we're discussing, you know, health or something. You know what I'm saying? So here, the stan is the relational words and the sequence of verses. How it's going, that there's going to be a primary verse and then secondary verses. Like that. Like that. It's, I mean, it's, I've mentioned, explained by Jiva Goswami, that when you have the sutras, that there's going to be a main sutra that's giving a principal point. Then there's others that are giving either exceptions or variations on it or different ways it's applied. You know, it's just like, let's say we're talking about a recipe. And then after I explain the recipe, it said, but instead of, this, you could put this. You know, instead of tomatoes, you could put yogurt, or instead of this, you could put that, and like this. So it's all in context of the main recipe. So it doesn't stand on its own. Does that make sense?
Also, like, few examples are given. If I say ashwa, in Sanskrit can mean the horse, and it can also mean salt. When I'm eating kushadam and I say, go get some ashwa, it doesn't mean horse, it means salt. So according to the philosophical stance, it's obvious the meaning is there.
In the like context when, also.
In the context, just like in Vedanta Sutra, we're describing Akasha. But it's Vedanta Sutra, why they describe about the sky? So it should refer to Brahman, not Brahman. That point was brought up and referring to Brahman as Akasha.
Modern people use it a lot to move on something. When you use the same, the meaning, the word is the same meaning, it's different.
The words have many meanings.
Yeah.
They just play with it.
Yeah, that's, I think, in Nectar Devotion, that's called Chala. Krishna is doing that for that pastime in Kerala. Okay. Samakya, that's the, which one is that?
That's the last one.
Samakya refers to explanation by similarity of names. Thus, Jagrihe Paurusham Rupam Bhagavan. Paurusham should be explained in terms of Pumsa in Atech Chamsa Kala Pumsa. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Similarly, mantras defining sacrifice, Advara, are used in actions of the Advarya priest. As seen in this work of 18,000 verses, Krishna is repeatedly mentioned, and particularly in the first, 10th, and 11th cantos. His name is repeated often in the second canto in the conversation between Brahma and Narada. His name is found in the third canto in the conversation between Vidura and Uddhava, and in the fourth canto with verses like Srimad Bhagavatam 4.17.6, previously quoted, and the following. These two portions of the Lord have entered Krishna and Arjuna, best of the Yadu and Kuru dynasties, for relieving the earth of its burden. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.159. In the fifth canto, there was the following. O King Parikit, Krishna was the protector, instructor, object of worship, giver of affection, and the protector of both the Yadus and the Pandavas. But he was sometimes your servant. The Lord gives liberation, but not even Pava Bhakti to those who worship him. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.18. In the sixth canto, there was the following. May Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day. May Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. May Lord Narayana, who is equipped with all opulent potencies, protect me in the third part of the day. And may Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc to kill his enemies, protect me in the fourth part of the day. Noon. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.8.20. In the seventh canto, Krishna is mentioned in the conversation between Narada and Yudhishthira. In the eighth canto, the seed of Krishna's greatness is suggested when Kalanemi does not get liberated when killed by Ajita. When born as Kamsa and killed by Krishna, he attained liberation. Thus, the eighth canto contains the first part of the story of his liberation by Krishna. In the ninth canto, all the latter chapters mention Krishna. In the twelfth canto, there are many verses such as, O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief among the descendants of Rishni, O destroyer of those kings who are disturbing elements on this earth, O Lord whose prowess never deteriorates, O Govinda, O Lord who gives pleasure to the ears by the fame which purifies the universe, which is sung by Uddhava, the servant of the gopis of Braja. O Lord, please protect your devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.11.25. As the Bhagavatam progresses, there is more and more glorification of Krishna. Repetition of his name leads to prominence in the scripture as in Anandamayo Vyasad. The Lord is full of bliss because of repetition of the word, Brahma Sutra 1.1.12. Since Krishna is established by other scriptures also, Krishna becomes prominent in this scripture. Thus it is proved that Krishna is the root form of Bhagavan. The work is called Bhagavatam because it explains Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna. Not only is Krishna alluded to in many places, but over half the work directly indicates him. And that is indicated with great wonder. Therefore it is correctly stated, Ete Chamsa Kala Humsa. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28. Thus the armies of the king of words, powerful statements, have been described. Other similar statements are also seen. Ashtamastu tayor asit swayam eva hari kila. But their eighth son was Swayam Bhagavan. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.24.55. The word Kila indicates that Krishna is famous and Hari means Bhagavan. For it is said, Vasudeva Grihe Sakshat Bhagavan Purusha Paraha. The Supreme Person, Bhagavan, was born in Vasudeva's house. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.23. Sukadeva spoke thus the verse. So these last parts were all examples of this last one, or
overall.
It was overall. Overall. Yeah, because I was thinking it switched. So it's just. Okay, so the Samakya is only that one paragraph.
Yes, and then it's described like how Bhagavatam, using all these six now, how Bhagavatam is only describing about Krishna.
Uh-huh.
Over half the part is directly describing, and the next half is alluding to him.
Okay. Okay, so those ones that, okay, so like here, the Kila or these ones. And then the other ones, they just say his name directly. Viti, in the next few anuchetas, the author cites various verses from Bhagavatam to assert Krishna as the greatest and most complete form of the Absolute Truth. Anucheta 75.
It's just continuing from what we establishing Krishna as, you know, Krishna is who is glorified. Now it's just continuing with that till the end of that year.
Oh, okay. Anucheta 75. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune, because Krishna was their friend. The highest bliss, eternal and complete. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.32. The word Brahma means the greatest. Thus it means that Krishna is complete. Such descriptive terms support the thesis. Brahma spoke thus to Krishna. Because if he is Brahma, then the greatest, because that's the whole thing, is that you're talking about Brahman, it means the greatest. And so here is that is pointing out that Swayam Krishna, he's the greatest. Right? So when you're talking about material or spiritual, then Brahman is the greatest, material is minor, like that. But of the features of Brahman, then Swayam Bhagavan, he's the greatest. Is the actual. That's why then the Bhagavad Siddhartha, whatever it's talking about, Brahman and the greatest aspect, it's always showing that it goes to Bhagavan. Yeah. Anucheta 76. Therefore it is said, no one is equal to him or superior to him. He is the master of the three Vishnus. All his desires are fulfilled by his wealth of bliss. His feet are praised by the sound of 10 million crowns of the permanent Vishnu forms, offering respects while presenting gifts. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:10:21. No one is equal, Samya, or superior, Atishaya, to him, since he is the Lord of Shankarsana, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. He has attained all enjoyment by the wealth of his Sarup, full of the highest bliss, which is superior to anything else, since he is the Amshi of all beings. His feet are worshipped by the millions of crowns of Antaryamis of unlimited universes, who protect the planets for a long period, Chiraloka Palahi, who offer gifts of what he desires. Devatas like Brahma do not protect the planets for long periods of time. The excessive praise indicates that he is the most excellent. The word Krishna should be understood to be the subject of the sentence. Swayam stands for Swayam Bhagavan. Udva spoke thus to Vidura. His completeness is shown by an Anucheda 77. His completeness is shown by an example. Deva kyam deva rupinyam Vishnu sarva guha shayaha avirashid yata prachyam Dishindur Iva Pushkala. Then the Lord, complete with all his expansions, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, responded to the request of his devotees, appeared as he is, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, from Devaki, who is not different from the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:3:8. Yata means Yatavat, as he is, in his own Sarup. Sukadev spoke thus the verse. Anucheda 78. The full moon shone in the sky, surrounded by stars, just as Krishna, the lord of the Yadu dynasty, shone brightly on the earth, surrounded by all the Vrishnis. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:24-4. The meaning is clear. Sukadev spoke thus the verse. Anucheda 79. Since Bhagavatam is Krishna's other form, it mainly expresses Krishna. Though Krishna left Dwarka, arrived at Prabhasa, and then disappeared along with his six great qualities, this Purana, another form of the sun, has now arisen in Kali Yuga for those who have lost their knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:3:43. The meaning is clear. Sutta spoke thus the verse. Friti, having proven Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan, the author next addresses further doubts on his supremacy over Lord Narayana in the next two Anuchedas. Anucheda 88. Krishna has been shown to be Swayam Bhagavan. He becomes the goal of all efforts. O King, all the Vedas, all knowledge, all scriptures, all sacrifices, all worship is Krishna. Brahmanas who know Krishna in truth have achieved all knowledge. Mahabharata. This shows that Krishna is complete since he is the end of all endeavors. In Gita it is said, Vedais cha saraveder aham eva vedyo, Vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. I am to be known by all the Vedas. I am the maker of the Vedas. I alone know the Vedas. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the basis of Brahman. Bhagavad Gita 14:17. Yasyaika nishvasita kala matava lampya jivanti loma vilaja jagaranta nata Vishnur mahan sayayasya kala visesho Govindamadi purusham tamahang bhajami. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, whose first expansion is Mahavishnu, who determines the appearance and disappearance of the rulers within the universe. Even Kiradakshai Vishnu, by his exhalation and inhalation of breath. Brahma Samhita 5:48. In Padma Purana, it is said that Narayana alone, the Lord of Vaikuntha, is the source of all avatars, avatari.
Like a thousand.
Hmm?
This is the doubt one.
Aha. Oh, this is the doubt. Okay. Maybe before these ones, just put in a little bracket, put doubt. You know?
Okay.
you know, or Vishaya or whatever, and then when he starts talking again, the Pauta. In Pancharatra it is said that Vasudeva is the source of all avatars. One should not say that it is Krishna, because different forms, names, associates, and places are mentioned. Thus, why is Krishna considered the source of all avatars, or Swayam Bhagavan? So that is answer. In Tattva Sandarbha, it is shown that Bhagavatam is the king of all scriptures as a basic precept. It is well known that Vyasadeva revealed this work after manifesting full knowledge. It is seen clearly that all other scriptures are defeated in it. Quote, some men propose that the troubles were due to Akrura's absence, but they had forgotten the glories of the Supreme Lord, which they themselves had so often described. Indeed, how can calamities occur in a place where the Lord, the residence of all the sages, resides? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:57-31.
This particular instance shows that most of the times, like, we may be also absorbed in devotional service, but any particular calamity happens, immediately we don't see Krishna, then we start saying some other thing, like, because of not having some other thing, I'm suffering right now. Like they say, because our Akrura is absent, that's why we have calamities in Dwarka
rather than Krishna. Such is the account given by some sages, O wise king, but those who speak in this illogical way are contradicting themselves, having forgotten their own previous statements. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:77-30. The incarnation of Godhead, Vedavyasa, ignoring his disciples headed by Pila, instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to me because I was free from all material desires. Srimad Bhagavatam 9:22-21-22.
All those disciples whom Vedas were described.
Because they came up with all the different schools of thought and this and that. So. Okay, so it's based on desire. You give up material desire, then one can appreciate. Thus, all scriptures are represented by the Bhagavatam. And in Bhagavatam, Krishna is stated to be Swayam Bhagavan. One sees that a particular object is praised because of the nature of the praiser. The assemblies of a village leader and the king, or the king, or. Okay, there is a difference in objects which are praised as most excellent. Thus, though other things are praised in other scriptures, Krishna is shown to be the supreme since he is praised in Bhagavatam. It was previously explained that the limiting statement, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, refuted all other statements. So here, limiting doesn't mean it's limited. It means it brings all others, doesn't allow them to go anywhere else other than this conclusion. Okay, so all others, so that means if they're showing from a tamasic angle or tarajasic or karma or jnana, then that's the village leader. The village leaders. Bhagavatam is the king. Thus, Narayana, Vasudeva, and others should be considered particular forms of Krishna. Krishna is Mahanarayana, as stated by Brahma, with Narayanas, Tvam, you are Narayana. And Krishna is known as Mahavasudeva in Dwarka. This is also clear in the Narayana Upanishad and Vasudeva Upanishad. As well, it is said, Brahmanyo Devaki Putra. He is the son of Devaki and devoted to the Brahmanas, Narayana Upanishads. Devaki Nandano Nikhilam Anandayat. The son of Devaki gives joy to all people, Vasudeva Upanishad. Krishna is identified with Vasudeva because Krishna is non-different from his vibhuti expansion. Vasudevo Bhagavatam. Among those entitled to the name Bhagavan, I am Vasudeva. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.16.29. Anucheda 81. Sattvatam nava murtinam adi murtir aham para. My devotees worship me in 9 different forms, among which I am the principal form, Vasudeva. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.16.32. Sridhar Swami's commentary says, among the 9 forms used in worship by the devotees, Sattvatam, I am called Vasudeva. The forms are Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Narayana, Hayagriva, Varaha, Nisringa, and Brahma. Even in the Vyasta Puja manuals, and so this is a particular Avarana then.
Yes, Maharaj, which one?
He gave the 9. The 9.
9 are the Navavyuhas.
They're one of the...
used in worship. These are the 9 forms.
Okay, so it's not part of the Avaranas, necessarily.
No, Avaranas are coming next.
Okay. Even in the Vyasa Puja manuals of the Advaitavad Sannyasis, one sees Krishna placed in the middle of the throne surrounded by Vasudeva and other forms, Avarana Devata, as well as Vyasa and his assistants. Therefore, in Krama Deepika, in the chapter concerning the 8-syllable mantra, it is said that Vasudeva and others are the Lord's surrounding deities, Avarana. Riti, the following section from Laghu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 5, details on the Avarana Devatas surrounding Krishna. Text 288. Here are some more verses summarizing sections of the Padma Purana. The first circle surrounding the main figure of Narayana consists of the Chaturvyuha, starting with Vasudeva, as well as Lakshmi and others, in the 8 directions, starting with east. Okay, so that'll be Vasudeva and the deities, and then the Lakshmis that go in those directions also.
This is used when? I didn't understand.
When is the Avaranas? That's
yeah,
just how...
Which pujas are you using those?
The Avaranas for the pujas, or this is just for as an understanding, or...
Avarana is... Yeah, here it's mentioned that in the puja, then...
Okay. It just means very technical, like when you're establishing a seat, then you would be establishing those things. I think for us, we generally just, you know, clean, put some tulsi in, you know, please come. But the whole seat can be established. And so for us, if we're doing a little bit more, then they'll establish that, you know, you have the earth and then the sun, moon, and fire are there in the seat and all these different aspects when it sits there. But here it's also then showing like the yogi, that he's here, then around him there's these circles of deities.
Wouldn't say that this is necessarily Vaikuntha type of worship?
It's just Pancharatrik. Mm-hmm. It's a Pancharatrik type of worship that as Krishna, you know, it's just like when we explain the creation, and the expand, we don't say, well, that's a Vaikuntha explanation. You know, it's just that's the way it is. You know, Krishna's there in the center, and then he expands as Baladeva, Baladeva expands as Maha. Vasudeva, you know, then, you know, from Sankarshan, then like that, then you get Mahanarayan, then again you get the second Chaturvyuha, like you said, the Mahavasudeva, because there's a Vasudeva, there's a Chaturvyuha above Mahanarayan, and there's a Chaturvyuha after. Then from that second Chaturvyuha, then you get, from Sankarshan, you get the Purusha avatars. Like that. So the point is, this is just how it goes. Now, in those, then it shows who's there and the energies and everything like that. You get more of an idea of who's where. Otherwise, you don't necessarily know who's at what levels. Because as you're going out, the closer in, they're more senior than the ones out. Or they're manifesting more potency than as they go out.
So these avaranas are also abodes in the spiritual world. So Gautama here describes that 74 abodes. And then those are the main, like, prominent abodes that each individual in the spiritual world, each individual avatar has his own planet, his spiritual planet. Again, it comes in towards the next book. Again, when it describes about how the spiritual world is, then these points are repeated and from different angles. But I didn't study detailedly before. Now I'm studying. So in the next book, again, when the spiritual world is described, and it describes about all these points from the viewpoint of how Krishna's abode is the topmost within this.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, because how Goloka is the top.
So then we can return the next book?
Hmm?
Then we can get the chart.
Chart.
Said,
chart. Chart, yeah. Because charts are always coming, just now coming.
Yeah, when we have clear with everything, then we make a chart, then it makes more sense. If like all the points are not clear from all angles, we make a chart, we keep changing, then 10 times you change, then you forget the little bit additions are okay, but at least that's what is my way.
Yeah.
I think first you make a chart, like a sketch, and then you just feel in all the details. I mean, it's one way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's just that sometimes is that what we'll think is the main aspect we find is not.
Yeah.
See, the structure, if you're clear that 100% this would be the structure, then you can add details. But sometimes what happens is we put together one structure, and when the main point is changed, then you have to
redo
the structure.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we'll take a detail as a main thing.
Yeah.
You know, because like, or when there's overlap, you look for the simplest explanation, or the like you'll have Krishna and Dwarka in both Swayam Rupa and in Tadikatma.
Yeah.
But you'll see in any chart other than what we put together, you won't find that. You'll only find one set, and so then it gets confusing where it is. You know, because it's in the one place, and then they have to describe the other, but it doesn't match because they don't have the same thing to put there. And so then it starts getting confusing.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't even actually catch the Swayam Rupa and the Tadikatma and all that, because you have all the Vaibhav Prakash, this, that. So they just become all kind of just names.
Yeah, well, personally what I found is that our chart, it's very confusing in the beginning. Then later, if you continue to study, it starts to make sense, and then at the end, like at the end of Lagu Bhagavatamrita, we hope it's going to make sense. What others offer in the beginning, it actually makes sense, because it's more clear, actually, from the first glance. But then later, it just doesn't match. So you have to pull things, and you have to stretch things.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning, it is easier.
Because the one is you're basing it on logic. The one that in the beginning it makes easily sense is we just put it together according to our inductive concept of knowledge, and so then that's why it does. Well, the other one is a deductive, and so it takes more to do. So that's why it does. These others, then you have people come in, they do a 2-week course, and everybody does their own course. But then the thing is, you won't get a consistent kind of approach to the philosophy.
Or else we can do the other way, like when you do the PPT shows, first you reveal only the main points, and then you explain, and then you go to the details.
Yeah.
So we can do a more simpler chart where you just give the three levels.
Yeah.
You know, you give a
Swayam, Tadikatma, and Avesha. But then we can add.
So then you add. Like you put it on those. Those clear things, and when you put it on.
Yeah. Like a transparent paper or something.
But you have to have transparent paper this big.
After you put
20 of them together, then.
We can do projection and just add, you know, like that's what people do, you know.
All the same. When you study in school, college also, first you only study the basic principles, then you add more.
Exactly. But you have to make sure is that it's starting from the principle.
Yes.
Don't take the simplest detail. Take the main principle. Because
yes.
Otherwise, that's where it gets confusing. Because the tendency is people take the simplest details and put it there. And so, and then try to make a logic out of that. But then as you add the principles in, then it doesn't match with their details because they started their own way.
But the first Avarna seems to be clear.
Yeah, pretty straightforward.
Also, another place it's mentioned, in that first Avarna, when you take only the masculine aspect, then apart from the Chaturvyuha, there is Rama, Nrisimha,
Vamana,
and Kurma.
Kurma, I think.
Kurma,
yes, some of the Kurmas. Kurma. Well, he says he's the basis of action, because they want to do work, but without Kurma, you can't function.
So my place is like that, and here it's described like this.
I say it just like, what's his name? Our German guy with the beard. He based his whole philosophy on turtles.
Yeah. Karl Marx.
Oh, he did also?
No, on turtles? The German guy with the beard, that's the only one. I mean, just rings.
Darwin.
Oh, Darwin.
Yeah, yeah. Because he went to the Galapagos. All there is there is tortoises. And I think maybe sparrows or something like that. So he does his whole thing, you know, for 8,400,000 species comes out of watching turtles. You never know, because he was there and there's nothing much on the island. Like what they're not discussing, what did he bring with him? You know?
I mean, the difficulty one student just shared with us recently is that we were invited as a part of a different course, and we just gave, you know, like 5 or 6 days our part of that course, of the bigger course. And then it was a few years back, and just now it came to my knowledge, just yesterday she told me that as soon as we started, and we gave it together, actually, because the organizer wanted, you know, to attract more people for this couple, you know, and they, whatever. So we came with our own materials. We didn't give it to anybody, and then they had their own materials, we had ours. And as soon as we started the presentation, whoever was in charge of that course, after our first day of presentation, all the students went to him and said, we're not going to listen to these guys, because what they speak, it doesn't make any sense. It's like presentation, and it was Gita, actually, so it was, I mean, it was starting from 13th chapter, but I mean, but whatever it is, it's a familiar book. So they revolt, and the guy had to really force them to stay, and here and here and here and here. And then at the end of the sixth day, to some, it made sense, and they actually liked it, and now they still study with us.
Oh, okay.
But most everybody, they just, because we have our own ideas how the education should happen, mm-hmm. and then we come with preconceived ideas, and then something, and it's like, what? And people just confused, like, totally thrown off. And then whoever came after us, and everybody was like, yeah, it's okay, it's just normal.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I found that when you go into a place where no one's ever heard, I generally found by the 10th day, then everybody starts to understand. It means they can relate, they understand what you're doing, what you're about. It takes 10 days. So that in 6 you caught some of them, that's pretty good.
Yeah, there were students in the course.
Yeah.
But it was... I didn't know, but...
Yeah, what to do.
Those details came. The difficulty was the 10 days, that on the 5th you already left. So, I mean, you have to have that kind of time to introduce, and then you have to continue.
Yeah. I've only had that in a few places, but I noticed that you go in cold to a place and start talking you know, on these various like principles. And it takes 10 days. I've seen it a few times. I think it was there in Hungary, and I can't remember where Perth, Hungary, and I can't remember where it was another place that I noticed that. Maybe Hungary, I mean, Poland. You know, someplace where you're there for a long time.
Yeah.
Because you go there, you give one class, and it's like, you know, it's nice, you know, like that, but they don't catch what you're saying.
Took me 1 month to get remade my own.
Redesign?
Yeah, my own presentation. Coming from here, giving classes to our students, and then going to Israel and then giving classes. 1 month, minimum 1 month before I understood that what I was talking, it was not on their level at all. They were not interested in that. And they just couldn't
connect.
They couldn't understand what is the idea, what we're talking about. And after 1 month, I got the idea of what was their level, what their point of view, what their interest in which Avarna.
Wow. Yeah. I just keep talking, and then whoever catches it.
No, just so few people came, and only after I understood.
Yeah.
Made more sense. People could relate, could participate. Otherwise, it was just.
Yeah. No. They can't. It was like we did that. I think it was. Also, when we went up north.
Yeah.
And then we had that kind of seminar.
Mm-hmm.
It took many days before they started to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. But also translation, the translator has to be really tuned with whoever gives the narration. Otherwise, if it's just any guy who knows language but doesn't understand the message you want to get across, it's useless. It's like zero. I was hearing classes, what the speaker meant, it wasn't going through the whoever translated him. It just the message never get across, like zero.
Like Google Translate.
Exactly. You just translate words, but it doesn't connect into anything.
Many times common class happens in the temple, the English to Bengali.
Oh yeah.
Except for Sujitendra, nobody.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
just two parallel classes.
Yeah, yeah, it's actually two classes.
Yeah, and the fun part is the translator is actually what he thinks you said. I've had times where I speak something, and the next thing I'm going to say, I haven't said it yet, they've already said it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then when you say it, they kind of look at you like, what, you know?
Ladies do it often because their mind is really fast.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then it creates a kind of disbalance. It's not resonates.
Do we finish at the top, or we're right at the top?
Hmm? Only the first verse we finished, Maharaj.
We're on Anucheda 81?
Yeah, yeah, we in the Vritti, then text 288 we finish.
Oh, right down there, okay. 289. We already did that? No,
it's
no.
It's Anucheda 288. I was confused.
We have to do text 288.
289. Okay. The cities of Lakshmi, Saraswati, Rati, and Kanti are situated in the direction starting from the southeast. Southeast in the spiritual sky. Okay, so Lakshmi is in the fire. But these are in the four directions. It means those the directions next to.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So then you're saying the Chaturvyuha. So Vasudev then is Vasudev in the east. Then next to that is Lakshmi. Then Sankarshan in the south. Saraswati then next to that. Then Prajumna. Then Rati, because then that's his wife. And then Aniruddha and Kanti.
So it means Shakti's in between.
Yeah, in between.
Yeah, they're in between. So you have the Vasudeva, Prajumna, Aniruddha in the cardinal directions, and then their consorts in the direction next to that. You know, because it's also, if you're standing there, then the next one over. But it also, then all these will also match with the different things on the Vastu Mandala and what potencies are there and all that, and what you see is. You know. That's why also then that southeast, that corner is very good for women. The fire corner, you know, is the kitchen, because that's Lakshmi's place. And so then it works for, like, you see, ladies are very comfortable, like, hanging out in the kitchen, even if you're not cooking. You know, because the option is there, you can sit, you can drink something if you want, you can stay there. But it's a very nice place in there, because it's the corner. Yeah. It's that corner.
Matches the energy.
Yeah, matches the energy. So then it works out very nicely.
So always eat. Always eat some dry stuff. My mom always eats the chickpeas, which are dried chickpeas.
Oh, the dry roasted. Yeah, those are good. Yeah, snacks. And then you have the other corner, opposite corner, you have Rati. And then Rati, that's also the wind corner. And then wind, you know, it blows around, it moves. And so then that aspect of just attraction and all those things, when they move around like that. And then Vasa Prajumna is in the west, so then that's Varuna, that's taste or water. You know. Does that make sense? So, because you have... Everything's expanding from the one place and descending. Everything's expanding from one place. So all the things are in the one place. So all those varieties. And then you see when you take it on this level, you get this. When you go down the next level, it'll have a different, slightly different flavor, slightly different. But it's still within the same principle.
So,
yeah. This is the stuff that no one... Yeah, okay. 290. The second avarana consists of the 24 forms, starting with Keshava. There are three forms in each of the eight directions. Okay, so then Keshava, Narayana, Madhava will be in the east. Then who's after that? Then Govinda, no, Vishnu, Govinda, no, excuse me, Vishnu, Madhusudana.
Govinda, Vishnu, and
no, because you have one, two, three.
Govinda.
Because they're Vasudev.
Yeah.
Then Prajumna, Aniruddha.
Yes.
And Vasudev.
Sankarshan.
Because he kills all the Sankarshan. Prajumna. And then Aniruddha.
And then again, two extra each.
Yeah.
So each has...
Oh yeah, because then each of those have those, and then they have their expansions, and then so those will probably go to the ones next to. In the ones next to.
Yeah.
Like that. Three forms reside in each of the eight directions. One can learn this from the extensive description in the Padma Purana. Fearing the volume of the work, the full description has not been included here. Text 291. In the third of Arana, right, so that means the first one you have the main Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev with those main deities. Then the second one is the 24 Vishnus, right? Third of Arana, the 10 avatars such as Matsya and Kurma are situated in each of the 10 directions. Although Krishna is considered to be the avarana deity presiding over the upwards direction, his presence there indicates the supreme position. Though the Vishnu Purana is devoted to showing the supremacy of Vishnu's abode, This fact is mentioned because the Purana does not avoid the actual truth. Right, so you have the eight directions, and then Korma will be on the bottom, right? Because he's the support, but Krishna will be up, so because he's the supreme position, the supreme boat. In the fourth avarana, Satya, Achutya, Ananta, spiritual Durga, Vishvakshena, spiritual Ganesh, Shankanidhi and Padmanidhi are situated in the eight directions. Oh, okay, Shankanidhi, Padmanidhi, because they're inside the doors. You have Jayam Vijay,
yes, ma'am.
You have Ganga Jamuna, and you have Shankanidhi, Padmanidhi on the inside.
Inside.
You know. So even if you get in, you won't get out. The Durga and Ganesh mentioned here do not have material bodies, for it has already been said, Nayatra Maya, there is no material prakriti here. They should be understood to be the associates of the Lord with spiritual bodies. In the fifth avarana, the four Vedas personified, Gayatri, Garuda, Dharma, and sacrifice personified, are situated in the eight directions. Right, so then again you're going to have the four Vedas, and then Gayatri, Garuda, Dharma, and sacrifice in the corners.
Can we say go from this or this? From the center?
It's going out. There's circles, but it's not. It doesn't necessarily mean that the circles aren't, you know, going down like that. But I don't know. Does it specifically say what's
he didn't say anything, but
maybe in Padma Purana.
No, I mean in the sense of superiority. When you say that.
Yes. Well, avarna anyway, it's going out. So whichever way you do it, if you're doing it flat or you're doing it
pyramid.
Yeah, always the 2D projection is always like the most important, goes into the center. Because if you, the circle, if you catch and lift like this, then it becomes like a cone.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, you have the 2D.
Pivot is the center.
You can do it just like the Lakshmi yantra. You can do it flat, or then they pull it up like that, and the same thing is there, and then you get the, what do they call it? Yeah, it's like a pyramid, but this also has Meru, they call it
Meru.
Yeah.
Meru.
Yeah, Meru. Like in the sixth avarana are situated conch, disc, club, lotus, the sword, bow, plow, and pestle. And in the seventh avarana are situated the deities, starting with Indra. Right. The eight devatas, starting with Indra, compose the seventh avarana. These are Indra, Agni, Yama, Nriti, Varuna, Vayu, Kuvera, Ishana, Shiva. Those are the ones that the eight main. They control the directions of the main.
Yeah.
They
are the prototypes. Means like.
In here, I would think you're talking about the prototypes, because you're talking about this is the spiritual realm, no?
Yes.
Yeah, this would be all.
They are the Amsha forms. Who actually gives that potency to the primordial demigods? They have their abodes. So they are the Amsha forms of the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, so this would all be in the spiritual.
Because
part.
It's mentioned Durga and Ganesh, they don't have material bodies.
Yeah, so it'll be the same here also. These will be the original, these potencies. Because they also go in those directions, like we see is that. Here, this is. Because when you do, now this is the lowest level, right? The seventh is the lowest, right? Now when we're talking things Shastra here, like Vastu, that's where you start. You go, okay, Indra's, where is it? Indra's in the east, then Agni's in the fire corner. Remember I mentioned about that, I was using that bottom one, because that's where it applies to us. Yama's in the south, Niriti's in the southwest, Varuna's in the west, Vayu's in the, what do you call it? Northwest. Kuvera is in the north. That's where all the money is. And Ishana Shiva is in the northeast. It's also where the water is. You know, Ganga is there, plenty of water. So then that's also based on where the potencies are, and therefore then what can be put in the directions. So that all goes back to those are done like that, because that's also then where those particular those are like that because that's where we see as, you know, Prajumna, I mean, Vasudeva's in this direction, so then that flavors and those potencies go in that position like that, and then everything goes from there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you always have that kind of explanation, so that's the fun part. Is if we use the seventh avarna, then it makes sense to us.
It's closer.
Yeah, because it's closer, you know. But then, you know, because we want to use that to go up rather than, no, it starts from there, that comes down, you know. Because Vasudeva is the head, so of the demigods, Indras. You know, Sankarsana establishes Dharma, Yama. You know, Prajumna, that's where the taste, Varuna. You know, Aniruddha is the goal and all that, so wealth, all that, things like Kuvera. So they come from there. So Kuvera gets its potency from Aniruddha as it comes down through the avarnas.
Also, Maharaj, the sixth and seventh avarna are basically his lord's associates, like the corn, the disc, these are the lord's potencies, but they are his associates. The first few are like lord himself, his main expansion, and this becomes more like an amsha form.
Yeah. But it also, they match.
Yeah, they match.
That's the thing, they'll match as they come down. So even as they come down, they'll match, they go together. So then you know what goes together like that. So then you also, but all this is starting there, it goes up to Radha and Krishna and then goes out Lalita Vishaka and like this.
The center itself is that golden lotus.
Yeah, so that's Radha and Krishna. And then you have around, and then from them the maid servants, and you know, it goes, you have that aspect, how it goes out there. That's just then dropped down to the next level, and then you have Vasudeva there, and then it goes out. So,
yeah. We should make one room in TOVP. What's that chart?
All the charts.
So, yes. And so, according to the chart on the second floor, in the northeastern corner, then.
And then, when the person comes out from one room, and then this is already 2 days past.
Or they come out and then he notices he has four arms.
Maybe four heads. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it says, I noticed in the drawing here that in this room here, as you go around the diorama thing and all that, there's no door to exit. Says, no, that's because they all go back to Godhead by the time they get to the end. So we don't need a door. Like that. Says, that's why the roof is open. Text 295. The heavenly beings such as the Sadhyas, Maruts, and Vishvadevas, and their abodes are all eternal in the spiritual world. In the material world, these same devatas are not eternal. But the deities like Indra arise from the material world. How can they be said to be present in the spiritual world? Answer this. Three lies from the Padma Purana, 257, 64, 65 are quoted. That's the next ones? Or,
yes.
Yeah. So that's the things. We'll always look at it from here because it means for us, we know what we're going on here. Then you find out that there's, you know, demigods and this and that, and so for it's expanding like that for us. So then when we hear there, no, that's the spiritual world. It can't be that. But you have in the creation when Krishna glances, and then the pradhan, then the as a vyakta separates into the 24 elements. That it's still unmanifest because it's just instead of the 24 elements being homogeneous, they're just separate. But nothing's manifest from it because the primordial demigods can't do anything with it. So those primordial demigods are these spiritual ones. Like that. Because they're there. Then only when the Lord enters, then they can enter. Right? Because they're avarnas of Him. So therefore when He's there, then they can do their service. Then you can get all the different varieties of the, you know, the 8,400,000 species, the 14 planetary systems, you know, the different varieties of karma and jnana and all this. That then, now you have the Mahatattva. Now it's ready for the living entities, whatever is their desire, whatever, now they can apply themselves. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 296, 297. The 74 forms, starting with Vasudev in the Avaranas, have 74 planets in the spiritual sky. Among the three avatars coming from Garbhodakshay in the material world, Vishnu is greater than Shiva and Brahma. This is shown through the test of Bhrigu. How much greater then are the Purushas, Garbhodakshay and Karanodakshay? How much greater than them is Vasudeva, and how much greater is the Lord of Vaikuntha? Okay. So then, another doubt. But only a person devoid of proper faith claims the Lord of Mahavaikuntha to be supreme. For in the Smritis, Brahma and Shiva are declared to be the same. Quote, there is one deity composed of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. The present verse counters this argument. So he shows that, no, that means they're all there, but there's still levels. So you can say, no, they're all one. It's just like you are one. Says, but you're going to say that there's no difference between your head and your feet? You know, is it all the same? And if they say yes, then you know where to stand. Then you won't mind if I, you know, put my feet on your head. Among the avatars arising from Garbhodakshay Vishnu, the supreme compared to Shiva and Brahma. Vishnu is supreme compared to Shiva and Brahma. Shiva and Brahma are not equal or the same entity. Why? The story from Bhagavatam is cited. One should consult the 10th canto concerning the test for the three devised by Bhrigu. Then how much greater are the source of these avatars, Garbhodakshay and Karanodakshay? Vasudeva is greater than Karanodakshay. The Lord of Mahavaikuntha, the source of the Chartavyuha, is so much greater. The meaning here is that this form of Narayana is the Amshi, or Swayam Rupa, of all forms.
They call the Lord of Mahavaikuntha and other places, they are referring to Krishna. Padma Purana is referring to Krishna and it says Lord of Mahavaikuntha.
Yeah. Because when you say Mahavaikuntha, that's Goloka. So some only take it up to, it seems to be, I'm not sure where when they're saying that original Vishnu. Are they going to the second Chaturvyuha? Are they going to Mahanarayan that's in the middle, to the first Chaturvyuha? Because they're not going to go up to Balaram and Krishna. Do you know how far they're taking it?
Actually, even the first Chaturvyuha, which we call is Prabha Vilas, it's also, they're also identified with Dwaraka and Mathura. So nobody goes even to there.
Okay, yeah, because generally it's just because they're taking that as expansion too, so they're being lower than that, so Mahanarayana. Because it seems that there's in between, before Master Time we were discussing it, that there was you know, Vasudeva and Mahanarayana were making the same, but no, there's the Vasudeva, the first Chaturvyuha. From him expands Mahanarayana. From him expands then the second Chaturvyuha.
Yeah.
From that second Chaturvyuha, then you get one direction is Vaikuntha, the other direction is the Purusha avatars.
It seems that, as another place it's explained, that in the first avarna there is Ramana, Shinga, and these other two forms also. So when the Shris or they described about Lord Rama having the complete one, then it might be like, because they're eight and they also go in prayers, Vasudeva is, and Lord Rama are always identified with as the same. So in the first hour, so
they're just saying that he's
similar potential as the first Chaturvyuha.
Okay.
Not exactly.
Well, even if they're talking about Krishna and Balaram, they'll take him as he's that Vasudeva and Sankarshan, that means the Balaram is that Sankarshan. Yeah, they just don't see the Amshi, they see him as Amshan.
Swayam Rupa, nobody else discusses at all. The whole Swayam category.
No, Swayam, we're the only ones that actually describe that. Because point is it's mentioned that you can see it both ways are not wrong. Because if you're looking at it from majesty, then you would start with Maharaya, because that's where majesty is situated. And so then Krishna and Balaram, if you're looking at the opulence and the majesty, but you're looking at it as opulence and sweetness, as an opulence there, then you can accommodate them and even be very much attracted, or even, you know, they can be, Krishna, Balaram can be your deities, even though you're in the realm of Aishwarya. You just have that taste for those opulences of the Lord. Yeah. So they're seeing it that way. But the actual point, that's what also the aspect that's never been revealed before, is that you're getting this higher. So it means that it's starting with Krishna. Because sweetness is actually first. So because if you're starting with Adi Rasa is Madhurya, because they don't deal so much with that. It becomes a side thing. Service is the main thing. And then from that you get Shanta, and then these higher realms you get the friendship, parental, and conjugal. But they're all just, they see them from the aspect of service. Means we'll also see, but they see that it's, that the service is the central point. You know, as a rasa. And then it can have these branches where we're taking services means an activity. So, yes, no?
Yeah. Maybe catch the subtle difference between service as an activity and service as a position.
Means they're taking it that all living entities are servant to the Lord. We'll say the same thing, yeah. But they're taking it that rasa is the main rasa.
And
there may be some in these rare cases like Lakshmi. It's a conjugal aspect, but it's just an aspect of her rasa.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that's the main attraction. The main attraction, the rati, is service.
Yeah.
Though it may have the form of a conjugal. Yes.
Like in Prema Pradipa, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that dasya, and there is uttama dasya. And when somebody has that uttama dasya, it can lead to friendship, parental, or conjugal. Means, if you see from their perspective, they are the uttama dasyas. Like, who is the best servant? It's Lakshmi Devi, the conjugal servant.
Mm-hmm. So a parental servant, like Vasudeva and Devaki, they see themselves as servants.
So from there, they see from here, and then they're projecting and saying. But for us, like, from there we're seeing down. That how from conjugal then goes down.
So take dasya as a basis of the all the rasas,
yes.
But rasas, they are the main.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So they just take that as the center, because if you're dealing with majesty, there has to be that element of awe and reverence. So there has to be God. There has to be your servant. So basically, what you could say on one level, let's see if it works, is that the aspect of the, how do you say? No, it may not work, because you're always going to have the. That means Krishna and his energies, so he's going to see one way, the energies will see in another way. But then it's just a matter of the samasti, the vyasti. It just, you just get these different flavors where it's more on that side or more on this side.
Yeah.
You know. So it's like for them, then Vaikuntha, then the points of liberation are, you know, very valued. In positions, in very glorious positions. Though you see is that, I'm sure if you check very carefully, then Ramanuja and Madhva are going to be talking specifically about rendering service in those positions. But, so the goal is not Sarupya, the goal is service to the Lord. You happen to do it from the platform of Sarupya. You know what I'm saying? But for us, then it's just you going to serve the Lord. So to do that, then we see in Brahma Samhita, because of the mood of Rati of Mother Yashoda, therefore she has that form, and then she has that situation. You know, so she's in Nanda Bhavan, she has all this. So all that's there. But that's matching the Rati. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
like that. So technically theirs will make more sense, and they'll do better, and they'll move quicker, and they'll advance faster if they see it from our perspective. Applying it into on reverence, that it's their Iraqi to serve the Lord, that's the main thing. Then it may happen to be they want to serve in this capacity or that capacity. But if they take the capacity and make that the main thing.
Yeah.
I think this another way of seeing is like everybody is servant, but when one is a friend, he's defined as like, no, friendship rasa is that where the mission of the Lord becomes your mission. For a normal servant, executing the Lord's order, like whatever Lord says, he will do it, but he will not think what the Lord wants, and becoming his mission as our mission. Mm-hmm. That goes only a higher stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to parental and then conjugal, it's even more like what you can call intimate. Mm-hmm. That where they are not just executing his mission, but understanding what he needs, and then understanding the mind of the Lord. And when Prema Sambhava, the description of pure love comes, then the two bodies, like with the soul, one soul, like they think the same, and whatever Krishna wants, that's what Radharani thinks, and whatever he wants to execute, like whatever in his mind exactly, she knows.
Yeah.
So it's the most intimate service. It's all about service.
Mm-hmm.
So from servant perspective, we can describe all the other three also like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not...
They emphasize on the service.
Service, but then...
Well, we're emphasizing on the relation to pleasing Krishna and things like that. Means it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of whether it's sweetness or whether it's majesty. So that comes to that, and that position, that's the Jnana Shakti as Vasudeva. So that's the point where you can see it either way. So you either see it from there down, or you see it from there up.
Also, when we are always conscious about our position and Lord's position, then actually one cannot move into the next three higher ones.
Mm.
We are too much conscious on our position and what happens.
You can't. Yeah, this looks like Lakshmi can't move. Because she always sees Krishna as her husband. And so she can't move into that park. She can't do the service like the gopis.
Yeah.
So that's why then Raghunath Das says, don't get attracted by Vaikuntha. Because once you go there, you may not be overly interested in this side.
Mainly, like, to execute service also, then, oh, he's the Lord, and how can I, you know, commit offense by moving with him casually and as a friend or as a parent, how can I chastise the Lord?
Yeah. And so then he'll be comfortable. So Vaikuntha is made so they can be very comfortable.
Yes.
And serve the Lord, because it has all the rules, regulations. You're supposed to be there, that's why you're there. You know, you're supposed to do this, that's why you're doing. You know. But it's because they want to do.
Yes.
It's all based on their love for the Lord. But it has that structure and formality that's there. So the rules become the what you're following, the path that you're following. Well, Braj, I mean, you're following is the movement of the attraction, where the attraction takes, because the attraction is there, and then what as the bhavas move, how then that whole pastime unfolds. So what Krishna wants to taste, those bhavas will arrange, and it'll move, Yoga Maya will arrange it that way. It's very subtle.
Yeah.
No?
Very subtle.
Oh, okay. But is it making sense, or is this another one of those, we need 10 days?
Well, you can take even more. some ideas, I realized it's you know, it's too big of a new concept. This is not new.
Okay.
But if it is, I can't digest it. Like right away, I can't even bite it. So I just store it for it, and then contemplate, and then in the discussion,
you plant it, and then the seed comes and it grows.
And in discussion, it comes a small bit. Okay, this is better. I can deal with it at least, it's not that great, and then slowly, and the whole thing, yeah, because the subtlety is the Vaikuntha devotees, they follow the form, and this is the attraction, and but then Brijvasi, they follow the mood, and this is how it's more. Yeah, it's more intricate, more relishable for them. But it actually depends on the person, because some they don't understand that kind of mood. They just want the form, and then every day is a form, and they are very happy with this.
Yeah, no. That, wherever you're situated, you're completely satisfied. That's why there's no question of once I get to the professional stage, do I still have options? But then. The thing is if that's the question, means then you haven't actually come to the best platform. Because once you come to the platform where this is where you're completely satisfied, then other things aren't important. You know, then it's those three that we talked about before, is that you do this and that's all you care, that's all you're absorbed in, and so anything else you're not, you just can't relate to. Then there's those that are completely there. Other things are there. It doesn't disturb them, so they can work in a little bit wider area. Then the third group is they can appreciate, though they're not going to change their position, but they can appreciate what's going on. Like you see in that sometimes like in the battlefield, when Bhishma and Arjuna are fighting. So you have millions of people out there fighting, but when the two of them start fighting and really go for it, everyone else stops fighting and just watches. And they're all praising and this and that. And, so it's just, something exceptional is done, then all the kshatriyas, it doesn't matter the side, they'll all appreciate. Yeah, so that's just, yeah.
Also, it's emphasis, like, one way of saying is, the king is my friend. And then another way of saying, my friend happens to be the king.
Mm.
So when you say king is my friend or king is my boss, like it's a Vaikuntha way of presenting my friend or my boss is the king. Then, so.
Yeah, is it the friendship first or is the other thing? Yeah, so one is the king and then the servant. The other is the servant, then it goes down. So it's the same thing. It's just two different kind of flavors on how it's. We finished that top paragraph?
Yes, no. Okay.
298. Shambhu, who is also called Sadashiva, is one of the devatas in the seventh avarana. But Sadashiva is described as the source of everything in the Shaiva scriptures, and this is shown by his devotees as proof, Link Purana says. So this is also the doubt, the first sentence?
Yes.
So why not move the double commas to the first? And then put the single where you have the double now.
Yes.
Sadashiva is the supreme cause of all causes, and therefore all the devatas arise from him. So that would be the end of the single. Thus, how can Narayana be considered the Swayam Rupa? Then you put the end in double quotes. Then you start, the present verse answers this objection, because this, Shiva, Ishana, is the deity in charge of the northeastern direction in the seventh Varna. There can be no doubt that Narayana is supreme. The following should be understood. The Sadashiva mentioned in the Brahma Samhita is a velocity expansion of Krishna, a form of Narayana. The form mentioned in the Linga Purana is one of the Avarna deities, Lagu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 5. Now, because you have that aspect of the non-difference, because then in Karanadakshaya Vishnu, then his right side is Sadashiva, and the left is Hiranyagarbha.
So then when we are
that's the non-difference, yes.
When we are referring to Advaitacharya, we're talking about the Vilasa form.
Yeah, the Vilasa form. So, but then when you're talking, I think when you're talking about, I'm not sure what's the form in like when Gopu Kumar goes to Shiva Loka.
Yeah, that should be Avarna.
That would be the Avarna form. Okay, that's Laghu Bhagavan Charitamrita, chapter 5. When Gita 10:37 says, Vasudeva Osmi, among the Vrishnis I am Vasudeva, this refers to Baladeva, the son of Vasudeva, since the speaker is Krishna. And it would be meaningless for the speaker to say that he is himself. In this chapter, he speaks about his vibhutis, empowered expansions. There it would not be correct for him to be completely identical with a vibhuti in this case, since the hearers understand the special position of the speaker in all the other verses of the chapter. Therefore, it is proper not to take the literal meaning, but in relation to the statement, Vasudevo Bhagavatam, it is correctly explained that identity of the vibhutis with the Lord takes place because they are considered non-different in the sense of the vibhuti being the expansion of the Lord. That means it's an expansion, therefore it's non-different, but at the same time there's still a difference, you know, because the mood, the form, the activities, all those things. So, summary of Adhyayana. Thus, the unique position of Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan is clearly enunciated in this Adhyayana. First, the principal statement, Paribhasha Sutra, Bhagavatam, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, is explained. Then it is shown how all the other statements of Bhagavatam ought to be observed in the light of this statement. Instead of ought to be, maybe for are thus to be. Because ought to means you should, but if you didn't, are thus means it's just that's just the fact. This proves that all the Vedic statements ultimately indicate Parabrahman in the form of Sri Krishna by refuting many contrary statements. The Vedas indicate bhakti as the action and indicate me as the meaning. I am the meaning of all the Vedas, I as karma and jnana, am proposed and rejected as alternatives. By negating all these, the conclusion is reached that I, Krishna, am the final truth. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:21-43. Yeah, so then it's vibhutis, it means different vibhutis or other aspects they're projected as proposed and then rejected because they're not swayam. Having stated Lord Krishna Swayam Bhagavan, the primeval Lord who exhibits the complete features of Godhead, this statement is reinforced by citing various texts from Bhagavatam that establish Krishna's position as the source of the Leela avatars, the Leela Guna and Purusha avatars. Next, the supremacy of Lord Krishna Swayam Bhagavan is further affirmed the words of greatly learned, enlightened speakers and hearers of Bhagavatam who eulogize Lord Krishna as the greatest and the most complete form of the Absolute, and attachment to him as the topmost meditation. Then the six qualities of scripture, Shruti, Linga, Vakya, Prakarna, Sthana, and Shankya, which elucidate the meaning of scriptural statements, are elaborated, and it is shown how these six principles establish Lord Krishna's supremacy over all avatars in various sections of Bhagavatam, and hence removes any lurking doubts on this subject. Thus, the unprecedented position of Lord Krishna Swayam Bhagavan is clearly substantiated in this Adhyayana. Riti. Having proven Krishna as the supreme among all beings, the author dedicates the rest of the Sandarbha to extol the glories of his name, form, abode, qualities, pastimes, and devotees. Right now that we've established them, now we can get into discussing all these personal things very nicely, because you already know he's transcendental. So how can he do it? No, he's transcendental. The next adhyaya focuses on explaining the greatness of his name and form. Okay, so the different adhyayas go name, form, then abode, quality, pastimes, like that. How many adhyayas are there?
Four more.
Okay.
So first will be name and form, then his devotees.
Okay.
Abode, everything. And then the rest two will be like prakata, prakata, past tense. And the final is his, the position of his internal potency.
Okay. Getting good. It's already good, it's getting better.
I just wanted to ask.
Yes.
I forgot that the Buddha avatars, are they coming from Purusha avatars? Is that right?
He said Garbhadaksha, Vishnu, all the three
come from him.
It's also mentioned, I think, Kirudaksha. Because I think Kirudaksha is the Vishnu. He's the Guna Avatar.
Well, he's the Guna Avatar. So it's his direct expansion.
Yes.
Because in Lago...
But at the same time, as you have the attractive features of Jumna, you have then and Maha and Mahavishnu, you still have the concept of creation, and you start breathing out as Brahma, breathing in as Sada Shiva. So you're going to have it all three levels. But when you have the three deities sitting there, from what I remember, the last one, before it was saying is Kirudaksha and Vishnu.
Okay. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai.